Talk 102.3, 1240 on the AM side, and we'll go to the phone line.
And we want to welcome Matt Rosenberg to the program. He has been a journalist for 30 years. He's done just about everything, and he's worked in public policy, advocacy, of course, journalism, communications, and he has just come out with a new book. It's titled What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son, and he is going to tell us all about it. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Swinda. Great to be with you today.
Thank you so much for being here. And so Matt, we hear news stories just almost daily about what's happening or whatever is going on in Chicago. And, you know, first of all, I would like to ask you, you know, to tell us what, obviously, we know why you wrote the book, but what it was like for you growing up. You lived there for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. I did. It was just, you know, the most real, most American city you could imagine, and a lot of that wonder and greatness is still there, even with all the serious troubles now. You know, it was a working city. There were factories, there were steel mills, auto plants, the meatpacking industry, the stockyards. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, there were six teams in the National Hockey League, six. And Chicago was the southernmost and westernmost of those six. Compare that to nowadays, and that'll actually tell you a lot about the competition that exists between cities now and how the South and the West are starting to eat the lunch of the old northern cities. So I remember a time when, you know, the living was easy and the living was good, the streets were safe, the schools worked more or less, and you didn't have to worry about an armed stick-up or a carjacking or bullets flying or a murder when you went out on the streets. And now things have turned around 180 degrees, and it's frankly scary to be out there in the city now for a lot of people. So, you know, we've got huge problems, and I think the way we talk about policing, the way our courts are run, and the way that our political leaders talk about race and responsibility, these are among the problems that Chicago has right now. And Chicago, as you know, is not alone. Other big cities and even medium-sized cities are having very similar problems.
And you know, Matt, you know what you're talking about. I mean, you worked for the Chicago Sun-Times, Pulitzer finalist. You know, you helped elect reform alderman Marion Violini of Edgewater to the city council. So you cut your teeth as a suburban reporter. You know the city backwards and forwards.
I've spent some time there, and, you know, I got a real education working in politics and public policy, and coming back has been an eye-opener. And what I did in 2020 was I came back to Chicago from my other hometown of Seattle, and, yeah, I really know how to pick them. And I moved back in because I was fairly distraught at what I was seeing going on in the place where I was raised. And I went down deep into the south side of the city and talked to blacks and Latinos in their homes and workplaces. Number one, I wanted to collect some of their success stories. And there are many success stories in these troubled cities. And it's more important than ever to harvest those stories and share them. So I do some of that in my book. That's part of the answer to these problems. It comes very often on a household-by-household basis. I think politics and policy are important, but we can't put all our eggs in that basket. But then, too, I did ask the folks I was interviewing on the South Side for their analysis of what's gone wrong and how do we fix this. And so what I got was, you know, conservative values are alive and well in minority communities in America, in the big cities and obviously the smaller towns as well. And so I heard a lot from African-Americans and Latinos on Chicago's South Side when I went to do my field work, a lot about faith and family, an awful lot about school choice, including homeschooling, as well as charter schools. And I heard about police. And this is a big a change-up from what you hear in the mainstream media, especially when Black Lives Matter organization holds a protest to call for defunding the police. What I heard from black people on the South Side of Chicago was, we want better police, yes, but we also want more police, and that this has gotten out of hand. And black people talk frankly. Even to a white guy like myself coming in for an interview, they speak very frankly about black-on-black violence and what a cancer it is in their community. And, you know, our mayor, Lori Lightfoot, obviously herself black, continually blames the violence on what she calls systemic racism. So when I say we've got challenges in terms of how we talk about race and responsibility, I mean, let's talk about parents and let's see our politicians use their bully pulpit to stand up and say, number one, 99% of police are good people. They're here to help. Work with them, people in the community. And we need our politicians to also stand up and say, look, we understand most of you all are doing a good job. You're not breaking the law. You're trying your best to raise your kids right. But you parents that aren't on the job, you need to step up, because what we have is a tyranny of the minority, I fear, in some of our cities. You've got streets that are like the Wild West. Well, that's not because of most people. It's because of a small handful, but it's enough to make a huge difference. And the headlines, even this morning on Google, if you enter Chicago, you will see an array of horrific incidents. It's now common for armed robberies to be happening in formerly safe neighborhoods. Carjackings. Young couples with babies, you know, are having their cars stolen from them at gunpoint and running into a hospital to call the police. A woman getting beat up in a tourist-friendly upper-income neighborhood on the North Side. And, you know, I'll tell you, frankly, for white people, it was easy to say, oh, well, another gang-related shooting, or, oh, well, there's always been violence in those communities, but now it's coming right to where they live, and it's harder for them to process now, but still, the progressives won't give up their song, the same one the mayor sang. It's racism, racism, racism. Well, you know, that stuff's getting really old, and it's not the problem.
Well, is there a way that that folks can dig themselves out of this mess? At all? Do you see any solution?
I'll tell you some of the solutions that I saw while I was there. Number one, you know, I saw, for instance, a micro-lending program run by a community development corporation where ex-convicts are getting small loans, $20,000 or $40,000 at a pop to buy one or two Sprinter vans and start their own businesses. Running delivery services, feeding off the Amazon economy. I saw nonprofits training black female electricians and many others for the construction trades. I saw successful homeschooling going on. I talked to young adults who benefited greatly from public charter schools. I learned about a state tax incentive for private school tuition for low-income minority kids. You get a 75% credit on your state income tax if you donate money to a scholarship-granting organization that then shovels the money carefully to applicants who want to, you know, help for their Catholic school or other religious school or private school tuition. You need more and more alternatives to the failing public school system. So, yeah, there's a variety of things happening. You know, I talked to entrepreneurs, a guy who's an ex-convict. Now he owns 10 residential properties, and he's still right in the hood in the thick of it. So There's people doing stuff, but there's systemic change that has to happen, and two-thirds of people don't vote in the local elections, so that's a big problem, apathy, political apathy.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the violence, and the violence that has just grown and grown, is it causing an exodus from the city?
Well, yes and no. The overall population of Chicago, you know, it was 3.6 million in the year 1950, right? Now it's 2.7 million. So we're down almost a million from what I call peak manufacturing. But in the last 10 years, the city of Chicago's population went up just a little bit. However, the interesting thing is the demographics of that. Blacks and whites have been leaving at a astounding pace. The population of black Chicago and white Chicago is each down one-third from 1980 to 2020. But here's what's going on. A lot of Latinos and Asians are moving in. So the overall population is holding steady in the last 10 years. And, you know, I think to get at the violence, though, which is a huge problem, and it will cause the population growth to decline. Latinos already can see there are other cities in the greater Chicagoland area, and of course it's a huge region. It's not just the city, as you know. There are other cities that are safer, so I think that influx is going to trickle off unless we get a handle on the crime, and there are two big things that need to happen. Number one is foot patrols in high-crime neighborhoods. The other is to change the broken court system in the county. Basically, you've heard about bail reform, I'm sure, and we've got guys being let out on low-cash or no-cash bail even after they commit an armed carjacking or an armed robbery or a shooting or a gun law violation. And it's never smart to do that, but our system is to let them out in the interest of some work conception of social equity and social justice. So we don't have criminal justice so much anymore. Instead, we've got this idea that if any person of color is behind bars for, charged with a violent crime, you got to let them out before trial. Well, fine if they're a first-time nonviolent offender, but the problem is that that's not how we do it anymore. So we've actually got like about 100 guys charged with murder who are out before trial, and they got an ankle bracelet slapped on, but nobody's really monitoring when they go off home detention. So all kinds of stuff happens. So it's gotten pretty mixed up, and we need actually for voters to step up and vote, number one. We hold our elections in odd-numbered years with the first round in February and the second round in April, and so it's no surprise that we only get one-third voter turnout in the city elections versus a very robust 70% when we have presidential elections. So I think we need to shift our local elections by changing state law and have them at the same time as presidential elections. That would make a big difference. There's actually been a lot written about this off-year election cycle, and it's designed to perpetuate, you know, the hold that progressives have on city governments, and it's working. So there's all kinds of fine-grained stuff you need to do as well, with just smarter policing and fixing the broken courts and talking about parents and parental accountability and really governmental accountability, too. It's their job to keep the streets safe, and they're just not.
Well, we have been talking this morning to Matt Rosenberg. He is the author of his new book, What Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. It's getting rave reviews from all kinds of folks. And, Matt, where can our listeners pick up this book?
This book is for sale online only, so folks need to go to either Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And they can also find it and read some more long-form essays and learn more about me at my website, which is chicagoschooled.com, and schooled is spelled with a K.
Okay. All right. Well, Matt Rosenberg, thank you so much for being with us, and Have a happy new year.
Thank you. You too. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.